Subway has teamed up with Live Nation to bring you great food and great music for a great value. Right now, buy a Subway $5 footlong and get a Live Nation concert ticket for $5 to participating Live Nation shows like Nickelback, The Fray, and Crew Fest 2. Ticket price does not include fees. See store for details. Subway. Eat fresh.
Eat fresh.
The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report Tuesday morning. We had to wait to bring Cousin Sal in an extra day because there were two Monday night games last night. Both underdogs covered, the Patriots in dramatic fashion, and I guess the Chargers in dramatic fashion. Cousin Sal, that was a dramatic Monday night.
I think it's fair to say it was drama filled. Yeah, it was fun games that were supposed to be blowouts, right? Not to the last minute, both of them.
Why is it so much fun when the Raiders like put up a fight at home? I don't know why, but I always get sucked into it. Even when I bet on the other team, I'm subconsciously rooting for the Raiders.
It's the cutaways to the fans with the spiked shoulder pads and everything. You're like, well, you know this guy's going to be, look to mug someone on the way home, like, because I'm curious with the result, but we'll play it out anyway, see how it goes. But
there's only two NFL fan bases where I think it's safe to say that the games mean a little too much: Packers and Raiders.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw the Bills in too, so I'll say three. But for those three, every time they cut to the stands, it really feels like life and death.
I know. And the Bills, that's like three crushing Monday night losses in the last 2 years. The Monday night has become their 90s Super Bowl, basically.
They've downgraded. I felt so bad for them that even though the Pats had pulled off this miraculous win and I was like jumping around the house, like I didn't even do a post-game tweet. So it's like that – that's a terrible loss anyway, but when you throw in that's the Bills and like how great that would have been for them to win in New England in week one Monday night, that it potentially could have changed the face of their season, and now it's the whole same old Bills, and I feel like that killed their season.
I think so too. I think I was like, oh, look at this team. They may compete because, the Jets look okay. And Dolphins don't. Like, wow, they could maybe rise to an 8-9 win team. But yeah, I think they're in trouble. And I love the look in T.O.'s eyes. I know this is going to be a long year for him. It's going to be long, and I love it. It's about to get colder too.
It was the perfect storm for an upset for them because Brady was so tentative in the first half. You could just see it. And then the other part was we lost Mayo pretty much halfway through the first quarter. Mm-hmm. And that's like the one guy in the defense that we have no backup for.
Right.
So all of a sudden, they're just running amok. I was surprised the announcers, they brought up Brady's knee 475,000 times, but Mayo was not mentioned after he left other than when they said he probably wasn't coming back. But that was the reason Fred Jackson was running amok.
I say amok, by the way, but that's fine.
I was thinking a mock draft.
I'm glad the Pats won, honestly, because I was already getting emails about the Thomas penalty there. And
we had two. Don't forget the Wilfork one too. Those are bad.
Listen, you Patriot fans, you have a rule created for your quarterback every single year. There's a new rule to keep him intact.
That's not true.
You can't criticize the refs. You just can't. There really has to be a grace period. You know how you say when you win the Super Bowl, you can't complain about a team, your team for 5 years.
A Tuck rule is
really
like 10?
About a call either like that.
Tuck rule, you think we had 10-year grace period after the Tuck rule for no complaints?
It's got to be something, yeah. Yeah, but we're coming up on that.
Well, I love the Brady rule. I think it's a good rule. The problem is that Wilfork tackled the guy in his hips. The rule is the knees. So I just don't know how you missed that call. And then the Thomas thing.
I just think as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, they're going to call that. That's a call they make every time. So
Yeah, but if it, you know, we saw it in the Super Bowl with Manning, and we see it like three or four times every year where the guy is sacking, but he lets up because he's afraid to get that call, and then the quarterback breaks free because they don't blow the whistle. And yeah. I don't know. I just feel like
I think if you got the, yeah, the quarterback by the waist and you do that full 360-degree turn twice with him and then throw him to the ground, I don't know.
Here's my question. Has a quarterback ever gotten hurt on that?
That play? Yeah. I know.
No, it, never. The guy always gets up from that.
It looks bad, and it you know, elicits the boos from the crowd, but yeah.
It looks a lot worse than it is. Did you miss T.O. last night as a Cowboys fan?
No, I didn't. It really was working out great, right? I didn't know which way to go with it. I'm like, wow, if the Bills win this game and he doesn't have a reception, that's cool too, but
yeah,
great if they start losing, and I don't know, you know, just keep him out of the end zone. But you know what? I do think Trent Edwards is better than I thought, even without T.O. Maybe.
Yeah, he wasn't bad. He heated up as it got going.
Yeah,
I'm not sure how bad the Pats' defense is, though, and there's a chance it's and this is why I didn't pick them to win the Super Bowl. I just don't trust the defense at all, and we saw last night, you know,
yeah,
there's some holes, especially in that Mayo didn't help. But it was interesting watching the Raiders game. Richard Seymour had the best game I've seen him have in 3 years. Unfortunately, it wasn't for the Patriots, but maybe that trade just lit a fire under him.
Did he have
all over the place?
Guy who wasn't even going to play like Monday, right, or last week or something?
That was ridiculous. The guy, he had 5 days off, travels, he's arranging all this stuff for his family, goes in and basically dominates that game.
Yeah, and the Raiders' defense isn't really bad. It's really like they're going to compete with teams at home. We should remember that for.
Well,
we're picking against them. So.
That was, in a lot of ways, I felt like that was a much tougher loss than the Bills loss, because the Bills, you got the feeling the Bills were hanging on by the seat of their pants, and if that game had gone another quarter, the Pats would have won by 20. But the Bills game, the Raiders game, I just felt like the Raiders should have won. I thought they played better. I'm not sure how they didn't win, actually.
Well, Russell is he's frustrating because you know he has the arm there, and
yeah.
I know the Chargers, like the linebacking core is spectacular and everything, but Russell should complete more of these passes.
I know.
What's going on? He's overthrowing everyone. He has lousy numbers. It takes forever for him to even hit a receiver to start off, but the 4th-and-15 play, like, wow! Didn't you think for sure they were going to kick it?
I know.
They go for it, and like it's being rewarded. Like in our fantasy league, John Hamm, the new team, benched Steve Slayton and started to die, and we're all like, "All right, you benched your first pick," and it worked out. That seems like what same thing with the Raiders. Like, wow, you don't go for it in 4th-and-15 with almost 3 minutes left.
That was a brilliant move. He must have known that the Jets defense was going to be as feisty as it was.
Yeah.
If all right, through 1 week, if you're a fantasy owner, are you most panicked about Tomlinson, Brady, or Matt Forte? All top 8 picks.
Yeah,
Tomlinson?
I think Tomlinson. Yeah, I think it's kind of the same thing. Although, you know, they're saying he was injured. That's why he wasn't in towards the end. You know, they're like a high ankle or something.
It's funny how when Sproles changes the game for them and they play better and they can't keep him off the field because it's idiotic. It's always like, oh yeah, Tomlinson was injured. Like they have to make up some sort of frantic Tomlinson injury in the spot.
Right.
Sproles outplayed him in the game, and that's why he played. Seems better than Tomlinson was when he was healthy.
He fumbled and he got hurt. His feelings were hurt, and he physically got hurt after that fumble. But yeah. Look, Tomlinson should know. People are overdrafting. They're overestimating his value when they're drafting him. When they picked him at 1 the last few years,
Sure
it worked out in the past. But, you know, some guys picked him at 4 or 5, and it was a reach. And now Darren Sproles is scoring and getting a lot of touches. Not good. He's got to look in the mirror.
Well, in our West Coast League, the guy who took Tomlinson, I think, also took Sproles, right?
Right, yeah.
That was smart.
Yeah, if you bounce back like in the 7th or 8th round and took Sproles, it doesn't hurt as much. But if they're going to be splitting time like this,
yeah, it's
that's
not
a
good
rough thing.
Unless one of them gets hurt, then it's brilliant.
Right.
Speaking of fantasy, I whipped your ass this week. Thought I'd bring that up. Yeah.
You did.
It was good.
I didn't do so bad, but, well, listen, you had Adrian Peterson. That was a savvy, savvy pick with number one. So what
How about my Romo Roy Williams hookup?
It's funny because I had about 5 seconds of delight. I'm a big Cowboys fan, and when Romo hits Roy Williams, I was, like, going crazy. And then in the corner of my eye, I catch the screen, and you jumped up, like, 35 points or something. I was like, whoa, all right, maybe it does.
Yeah.
Good.
That's really when I took them 40 and 41, and that's when the hookup, when it just becomes a play like that, it almost like quintuples how exciting it is.
Yeah.
You're like trying to add up the fans. Like, was that 30 points? I can't even add right now.
Right.
Yeah, that won me the week.
The other thing is, real quick, we went to decimals this year, and I don't think it's a good move. And I was one of the few that voted against it because I knew it'd be a mess. People were, I think you voted for it because you didn't like the tie aspect, right? If we tied, we go to the reserve players, whoever had more points.
No, you know what it was? Hench bullied me into it with one of his snide Hench remarks where I initially didn't vote for it, and then Hench is like, oh, it's all right, stay in 1988. Or he made one of those things. I was like, oh, how dare you not call me modern, and I changed my vote.
Now we're like, it goes to the 100th place. So like I can't tell if I'm oh, well, am I up 1,000 or down 3/10?
I know.
I have to be like right near the screen and stare at it for a minute, you know?
It's too weird. It reminds me, I know we'll get used to it because it reminds me of when the network started putting the scores in the top of the screen and it hung down, you know, the score with the time. And we were all like, ah, I can't see the screen. This is terrible. But eventually you get used to it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to screw everything up. I'm going to add a tenth of a thousandth of a point for each running back carry. It won't matter towards the scoring at all, but just to see if people freak out.
Well, in Hench's other league, somebody won 105.7 to 105.6. That's pretty exciting.
A tenth of a point.
Yeah.
I like the Monday night. I like when you get rid of the decimals and you're tied with a guy and then you're up one, but you have fewer reserve points, and then Peterson goes for a five-yard loss.
Yeah,
now you're tied and you have fewer reserves. That's always exciting to me. I think I'm always rooting for what's more unfair.
I think we'll remember this whole decimal idea kind of the way when the NBA introduced the shorter three-point line in 1994 and like Shaq was hitting threes and we all realized quickly, all right, this is terrible. That's what happened here. We should also mention, because we didn't talk about this on the podcast, we mentioned it last week, we did have somebody voted out. It wasn't either of us, obviously. It was our friend Elliot. You loved
Elliot,
it.
Elliot, who started the year, started the league about 12 years ago.
Yeah, and you loved the whole thing. I thought it was painfully and undeniably awkward and uncomfortable, and it made everyone uneasy. It's a bad...
Did you see him this Sunday at Jimmy's?
Yeah, he made a dramatic return to Jimmy's. We all shook his hands. We thought it was a lot of class that he showed up. But here's my problem with it. The only two people that liked it were you and Brad. Two of the darkest comedy people that I know.
Let me just say this. It wasn't supposed to work out like that, where you vote out the guy who we're least friendly with. Like, of course you're going to vote out the guy who, like, doesn't show up as much or whatever. There's no fun in that. You're supposed to vote out the Henches or the Damashek's, the guys who are going to throw a fit and say something that, you know, stuck with us for, you know, I was videotaping the whole thing. And then they were going to flip out and leave, and we were all going to have a good laugh about it, and we would have seen them next year. But
I didn't like
the
it.
The other thing is, you guys wanted Elliot out for years, and you didn't have to dirty your own hands. It really worked out, I thought.
Where did that come from?
It's true. Come on. If you
That's
want
not true.
To leave the league,
I was rooting for Hench. I wanted Hench to get voted out. If he'd gotten voted out, we never would have that decimal idea.
I know.
I hope we never do it again. It put a pall over the draft. It really did. Jamie, one of the two owners.
Now you got John Hammond there, who's benching his first round pick. So everyone got what they wanted.
Jamie, one of the co-owners who was in charge of the voting, he showed up, and it honestly looked like he had the same look on his face that people have when they're about to get married, but they're realizing it's a terrible mistake. He was like white, his lips quivering. It was horrible.
But on the other hand, when they went to you, and they did it in great like Survivor type style, where they went to each guy and told him like why he was a jerk and why he deserved to get voted out, and then didn't vote him out, and like they went to you, and you turned Mars red. I mean, you would really be red for a while. And then they let you off the hook. Actually, he didn't let you off the hook. He's like, you know what, Bill, I'm going to come back to you later.
Yeah, I'll tell you,
nice job.
I didn't like that, and I have a long memory. Young Jamie. Young Jamie, he's on thin ice. I can't vote them out fast enough next year.
Really?
When I win the league, yeah, I'm just voting them out in week 17. Right?
It
is.
I love it.
That Sunday, they're already out. Actually, I might just vote out one of them, and I might have like a survivor vote to decide, have everybody vote to see which one goes. Just split them up. Yeah. I think that would hurt them more to be split up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about week two lines. I had a great picks week heading into the Monday night games, and then both underdogs covered, and that hurt.
What did you only lost like three games, right, or something?
I went 11-5 in my column and 12-4 in our picks league. But I was 11-3 going into last night, figuring Pats were going to win by 30 and the Chargers were going to win by 20, and who knew?
Right. Yeah, they screwed things up for us. But
we also won a marvelous three-team teaser.
We did well, right?
Baltimore.
Ravens.
Baltimore with a ridiculous cover, followed by the Pats with a miracle cover, followed by the Chargers with a miracle cover. Let's never do another three-teamer.
That was really nice. And the day before, what do we had Thursday? We had the Steelers and USC.
Oh, Matt Barkley.
Just to win, yeah.
So basically, we did two-teamer and a three-teamer, and in all five of the games, the team scored the go-ahead touchdown in the last 5 minutes or closer.
Yeah.
That's
amazing.
I can
go 3 years before I hit on a teaser that wouldn't have won outright anyway or would have lost otherwise, you know. We made nice use of the teaser this week.
What did you think of Baltimore going for the second touchdown with like 30 seconds left, up 7 on the 1 yard line?
I think they were kind of stuck, right? That's the thing where you don't want to kick because if it's blocked, taken back, you look like a schmuck there. And then if you can't really punt from the 1, so you have to kind of run a play, right? I didn't blame them too much.
It wasn't even the best gambling moment of the weekend because you had the Redskins getting a cheap touchdown that covered the over-under, every teaser, and then the straight-up line. And then you had the Broncos, if you bet them the money line,
right,
with, you know, one of the craziest end-of-the-game touchdowns of all time.
Right.
And then you had the Pats, if you had them in a three-team teaser, down 11, 5 minutes left. Nobody comes back down 11, 5 minutes left. No. So, yeah, no, there's a lot of good gambling.
Over-unders last night, I had the under 42.5.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, 10-10 going into the fourth quarter or 13-10? Like all those points were scored in the fourth quarter in both those games. So.
Which game are you talking about?
That was brutal. Well, I'm talking about the Chargers game.
Oh.
The late Patriots surge put that one over, too.
Unbelievable. I stand by my prediction. I think every Pats game goes over for like the first 10 weeks.
Yeah.
And I think the Saints might be the same thing. Those over-unders are going to be about 6-7 points too low every week until Vegas.
Can't make
just
them high enough.
Yeah, because the Saints, Matthew Stafford was driving down the field against them, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, let's do the week two lines. If you haven't heard this segment before, I guess the lines. Sal guesses the lines. Closest to the line wins. I do not look at the lines beforehand, neither does Sal. He writes his picks down ahead of time. I have not heard the lines yet.
Right, and I won last week, and whoever has more wins in the 21, or more week wins in the 21 weeks, gets to hit the other over the head with a Subway foot long?
Yeah, Subway foot long.
Right.
get to hit the other guy over the head with it. We have to figure out what's going to be in the sub. That's going to be great.
All right. Oakland at KC.
KC by 3.
All right. I said 4, and it's 4.5. Opened up at.
With Brody Croyle?
I win that one. Yeah, I guess they're still, reading into KC being a good home team. I don't know
if I agree.
I mean, both these teams are a little better, but I do not want to watch this game under any circumstances.
Yeah, that's not on a screen.
Yeah. Game 2, St. Louis at Washington.
Oh. I'll tell you, St. Louis might have been the worst team in week 1.
Yeah, no kidding. What happens there?
Nothing good.
And this is a must-win now for Washington, too.
Yeah, I'm not ready to write off Washington yet.
Uh-huh.
I think you know, they hung around in that game. It's a tough task to win a Giants Stadium.
Giants just take a – they just beat teams up at
yeah.
all.
I'm going to say Redskins by 8.5.
You win that one. I said 7.5. It's 10, actually. It's that high.
Yeah, the Rams are that bad.
By the way, let me just real quickly. I'm in a suicide pool where you bet like every week you pick a team and you can't pick them again for the rest of the year and they just have to win on the field, right?
Yep.
How much money do you have to have, or how little do you have to be paying attention? $100 suicide pool to go with the Rams week one on the road against Seattle.
Did
someone
do
actually
that?
Did that?
Wow.
What happened? I don't know. That person should not be allowed to watch. I don't think that person is watching football, but they should be thrown out of the league.
Maybe they were using the logic of, I want to take an underdog week one to get them out of the way, but that's not the team I would have picked. He would have gone Jets or Niners.
Take for the Rams to be home against Seattle then, if that's what I do.
Or take the Niners, I think would have been
that's
a nice
awful.
One.
Right. I have to meet this guy. All right, Minnesota, Detroit.
That could be
my buddy worked at a sports book in Las Vegas. He said everyone pounded the Vikings.
When it came out?
Last week, yeah.
You mean in week one?
Against Cleveland, yeah. That was their biggest loser of the week.
I'm going to say Minnesota by 6.5.
Oh, no. It's I said 10, and it's 9.5, so I get that one.
I don't know if I agree with that line.
Really?
Yeah.
You know Detroit has this losing streak. I don't know. It must be two or three games by now.
Detroit's not bad.
Detroit can't win a game.
They're not. They're bad defensively, but offensively they can score points. That's a lot of points to be getting at home.
I think they're
I'll have to look at that more often.
Should try to win the Lions this year. Like, take it slow and try to play a game that you're not more than a 10-point dog at home. You know?
Yeah.
Concentrate on winning next year. Carolina at Atlanta.
I mean, you just can't take Jake at this point. He's got to at least have a game where he doesn't have five interceptions.
I think what he's done is much more impressive than what Drew Brees has accomplished.
Me too,
right?
I agree.
11 turnovers in two games.
It's amazing.
$20 million extension.
It's amazing.
Does Brandon Adolph have a cellmate yet? Really, Jake DeLome.
We said in last week's podcast that Atlanta versus Miami – one of those teams is going to be the fluke, and then the other team is going to be legit. I thought Miami was going to win, and Atlanta actually had a very impressive game.
Mm-hmm.
I had that one on. They look like they've picked right up where they left off last year. I'm going to say Atlanta by 7.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's 6.5, so we both get that.
All right.
And now your game, New England at the Jets.
Oof.
Used to be an easy teaser game when New England went to New Jersey, right?
I fear this game. That Jets defense, you know, that there's a possibility Houston's not bad. You know, not as bad as they looked in that game, and the Jets defense is just great. Because they were all over the place.
Do you think it matters at all that Mangini's not there, or Belichick will prepare the same, or does he hate this team as much because he knows they snuck up on him last year?
Still residual bitterness? Interesting. Yeah. I'm going to say Pats by 3.
All right, I said 4.5, and I saw 6. I'm sorry, I saw 6.5. So.
Wow. I mean, that's ridiculous. What I saw last night, the Pats defense and the problems protecting Brady, that line should not be higher than 3.
That's a great game. I'm excited. I hope it's as good as it looks.
That could be our underdog lock of the week, potentially.
Ooh.
Kidding. I was wildly unimpressed by the Pats last night.
You'll curry favor with your home fans again if you take the Jets.
I'm just saying. The Pats look terrible. They shouldn't have even won the game.
All right.
They won because the kickoff returner brought it out of his own end zone and fumbled.
Mm-hmm. Arizona at Jacksonville.
Jags might not be bad. I thought they hung in that. Either they're not bad or Indy's worse than we thought, but there's something. It's one or the other.
I like both these teams better when they play on the road. I think.
Yeah.
Jacksonville seems to cover on the road. Arizona, it's too much for them to play at home.
Almost a must win for Arizona.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Jacksonville by 3.5.
All right. Well, who gets this one? Because it opened at 5, and I said 5, but now it's 3.
I don't know. What's the rule?
Is it opening line? What do we go by? If you go by opening line, I got it. Let's just call that a wash, I guess, because that's.
I thought we always went. To be honest, I always thought we went by opening line.
Opening line?
Yeah, I think you get that one.
All right. Well, I'll take that then.
You can
Houston at Tennessee.
Again, tough to gauge this Houston team. I don't know if they suck or if the Jets are good.
Washington, Jacksonville, Tennessee are all good teams that lost last week playing an inferior team at home. I think they're all in trouble if they blow this game. So.
Yeah. I'm going to say 6.5.
I also said 6.5 at 7, so we both get that. I think the Titans win this pretty easily. You know, they had 10 days to
think
about their loss and watch Schaub suck last week. So.
Yeah, how's that that Houston sleeper bandwagon looking?
I know.
Very surprised how many people jumped in that one, including our friend Hank, who tied his fantasy team to match up.
Cincy at Green Bay. If you're looking for a suicide pick this week.
I got to say, I watched that. Denver-Cincy was one of the four games I watched early, and I thought Cincy's defense was really good.
Yeah.
Hard hitting. Like, they're flying all over the place and pounding. Their offense is atrocious.
I love that Roy Williams screwed up that last play, though. That's nice. That's nice for Cowboys, man.
Yeah. Green Bay by 8.5.
I said 11, and it opened at 10.5. But it's 9 now. So
wow.
I think if we go by opening line, I get it.
You know what? I've been factoring in the possibility of Vegas not valuing these home teams as much, and I guess they just are.
Yeah.
And these are like 2005 lines. I'm not making excuses, but that line should be a little lower.
But you think that fat troll who like was cutting guys on Hard Knocks for the Bengals, is he done for the – like that's his favorite time of year, right? He's done.
What was that guy's name?
I forget his name.
Dick something?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was, but he showed no remorse on the show, on the phone.
Right? No, I was at a birthday party on Saturday night where we talked about that guy for 15 minutes.
Did you really?
Yeah. Now, in the old days, he was like very somber. Can you come up here and please bring your playbook? And then they'd break the news gently. This guy was pulling. He was pulling guys out of like the cafeteria ice cream line. Can you come here for 1 second, John? Yeah, we put you on waivers. I need your playbook.
He loved it. I give him credit for recognizing all the players. Like, I wouldn't have been able to tell one player from another after knowing them for just a week. You know, some of them were 2 weeks. But
do you think the Turk
really
is...
had no remorse, like, getting on the phone. Like, no. We're putting you on waivers. Where are you flying into? Like, what? By the way, I'd answer, I think I'm going to Florence, Italy, by the way. Yeah, get me a first-class ticket to Florence.
I'm
going to
see my mom in Italy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has the Turk ever been punched by anybody?
No, yeah, I know. Is that it? Yeah.
No, what I'm saying, the Turk, that guy who has that job in the course of NFL history has had to have been punched at least once.
Right. I know. Everyone's so – I don't know if it was the camera there or what, but they were they had the reaction. Like, no one really flipped out, you know. It's like when you get screwed in a boxing decision, you're like, oh, these guys should go nuts, but they're so exhausted, they don't even react.
Yeah.
New Orleans at Philly. I don't know – they have a line on this game, but I don't know about McNabb. They say Kane is going to be the factor.
I'm going to say New Orleans by 3.
All right. Well, you know what? This is interesting. We split this because I said Philly by 3, even thinking there was a backup in there. I love their defense, but it's a pick right now.
Mm.
So we're both 3 points off, and yet we split it.
Well, I like New Orleans heading into the year. They showed me nothing in week one that doesn't make me think they're not going to win 11 or 12 games.
Well, that Lions team is garbage, though, isn't it?
Yeah, but their offense is they have the best offense in the league now, the Saints.
Yeah. Can we do away with the Drew Brees is on pace for 96 touchdowns? How many times have you heard that this week already?
You mean after week one? Or Peterson's on pace for 4,000
yards?
Yeah, everyone
can multiply 6 by 16, you know?
Yeah.
How many wins are the Rams and Lions on pace for? 0, right? How about the Broncos? 16-0? 16 times 1? Okay. We got it.
Brad Childress is on pace to use all 32 challenges.
Is that what it is? Yeah, right.
by the first half.
Yeah. How far are we going to take this?
Yeah.
I think Garcia signing is good for Philly. Everyone goes Michael Vick crazy, but Garcia, if McNabb's out for any length of time, will be a decent replacement there.
Yeah.
Seattle, San Francisco. Now we're in the late afternoon games.
You're trouncing me again today. This is a tough pick season for
me.
You're the eye of the tiger.
You trained in four, including ties.
You trained in an African American Los Angeles gym, like Rocky and Rocky III.
Listen, if I could beat you with a foot long sub, I'm not going to pass up that opportunity. Even if it takes 21 weeks.
What is this game?
Seattle at San Francisco.
Oh. Yeah, that's an interesting one. This is.
Why do we have to pick this division? Just throw the rats out. And these three teams play a round robin tournament, and then we'll see you for the playoffs. Okay, we'll give you the fourth seed.
It's a bad division, but one of these teams might actually be decent, or even better than decent. I was impressed by San Fran in the Arizona game. I thought they.
I was too.
They seemed pretty tight. They seemed on the same page. I thought they played hard. And same for Seattle. I mean, they took care of business.
I like them this week. I think they pull away.
You think Seattle does or San Fran?
San Fran.
I'm going to say San Fran by three.
All right, I said three also. It's one. Started at one, but it opened. It moved to 2.5. So.
All right. It'll settle at three.
San Fran. Seattle will be a different team on the road, right?
You think? I don't trust Hasselbeck yet. And I also don't trust the fact that their go-to guy is John Carlson.
Yeah.
It's a little shaky.
Tampa Bay at Buffalo.
Ooh. Wow. Tampa Bay, their defense looked frisky for about a quarter and a half, and then they just started giving up big plays over and over again.
That left, which is lousy. Like, he throws the same way to everybody. Like, he throws it the same place every time.
This is the first prediction that...
Maybe it's the Cowboys' defense. I was impressed with Cadillac Williams.
Yeah.
Worked him over pretty good.
Leftwich has that weird habit that almost undermines him completely if you're rooting for his team or you bet on them, where he overthrows the guy by 15 yards and then walks up the field with a big smile on his face.
Right.
It's like, what are you smiling at, Leftwich? You just sailed the ball into the third row. Why did this make you happy? It's like the sarcastic smile of, I should have had that guy. He's laughing. It's like, why?
Right. Yeah, he doesn't get it. This could be a long year for Raheem Morris. I thought this was like the second of many losses for them, but they may catch Buffalo in an emotional letdown here.
I'm going to say, I think this is right in the Vegas zone if they have no idea. I'm going to say Buffalo by five.
Wow. All right, you got it exactly. It's moved down a little bit, but it opened at five. I said three. So you get
right.
That one. Cleveland at Denver. You're
my Broncos.
Broncos.
1-0. Nine wins away from 10-6.
I like the Stokely play. Like, this is what happens when you don't have a touchdown dance in mind. You could start thinking of things like running the clock off and everything. Everyone else is so excited to get into the end zone to, you know, spike the ball. And
let me tell you something, and I have no problem writing this again in Friday's column. That for anybody who loves video games, that Stokely play was like a seminal moment.
Right.
I mean, we've all done it in video games. I've never seen a player do it. It drives me crazy that they don't do it. And here's this guy who finally thinks of it. And really, it was like a game-altering. He killed 7 seconds.
It's great. He should get a coach's salary, I think, for that game.
It was amazing. The whole play was amazing. I also thought it was impressive that he turned on the Jets. And, you know, he could have gotten tripped right as he was trying to gain steam and just like went right down. So what was this one again?
Cleveland at Denver. Could be 2-0 here.
I'm going to go Vegas logic again. I'm going to say Denver by five.
Oof, went too high. I said 4.5. It's 3.5. And it's actually gone down to 3.
Wow, people think Cleveland's good?
Yeah, I don't get that. On the road.
They stink.
Well, it might be too early to tell which one of these teams is better than the other. I know you love Denver.
I like Denver. And you remember, they got nothing from the rookie in week one. He got played
That's
two
true.
Plays and got planted.
Baltimore at San Diego.
What do we think of San Diego last night? Just rusty, poorly coached, weird game, something wrong? Or are they worse than we thought?
I think it was just a weird game. They'll get back on track. But you know what? They don't have to get up for these teams. They're going to win that division by four games. You know, they'll have it wrapped up in probably early December.
I'm going to say San Diego by 3.5.
All right. It's It's currently 3, but it opened at 5, and I had 4.5, so I get that one, too.
Wow, this new loophole you threw in really is
done. I don't know. I mean, we always did go by the opening line, right? But they're moving, because it's so early in the year, they're moving so much. So that's a good game. I think that's a toss-up. That's basically the same team.
Unfortunately, the line moved too much for us to make Baltimore underdog lock of the week, which we nailed last week with the Niners.
Pittsburgh at Chicago.
No Polamalu.
Huh?
No Polamalu.
No Polamalu. No, obviously, no Urlacher for the rest of the season.
I'm going to say Chicago by one.
Kyle Orton is back.
Chicago by one.
I said Pittsburgh by two. It's Pittsburgh by 3.
Whoa.
Wow, this is a trouncing. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
You know what? I'm not going to apologize. It's not my fault the lines are on. Chicago should be favored in that game. It's a must-win game for them. They go 0-2. They lose their first home game of the year. I mean, that's a ridiculous line.
I'm taking the Bears in this game.
I am, too.
I like that. I like the Bears in this game. I think their defense is good.
Hey, I have a question for you, because this is something I made a mental note to remember. Week 2, week 3, week 4, you have to remember these teams that are already in must-win mode. The Bears are in must-win mode. They need that game. They lose that game, 0-2. Everyone starts killing Cutler, Lovie Smith. He's a jerk. I mean, the whole thing snowballs. They got to win this one.
I'm going with the Bears.
Me too.
The Bears. All right, and then the Giants at Dallas, and I'll be at this game. I'm leaving Saturday afternoon.
Do you have tickets yet?
My boys on. That place better be loud.
You have tickets?
I have tickets. Paid, I mean, I'm nervous about this video board. They're saying, like, there's only a few seats that are good in the whole place. Otherwise, you're staring at that board all day.
Oh, no.
So, but I don't know. I already, and I'm not Lou Holtz in it here. I think the Giants are better. We'll have to get a little lucky. I didn't like our defense at all last week.
I couldn't agree more, and I'm going to say Giants by one.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I said Dallas by 4, even though I was
That's ridiculous. Please don't tell me that's a lie.
Dubious. Dallas by 3 is the correct answer here.
I ain't
Dallas by 3.
Listen, I'm not going to apologize for my putrid performance this week because these lines are screwed up. The Giants are better
than
Dallas.
Don't apologize. I think you should just take advantage of it. Bet the Giants, bet the Bears, bet all these teams that you know, probably win.
I have a little secret about Dallas. Defense isn't good.
Well, there's a lot of pressure, and as you know, this team performs very well under pressure throughout the year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Wow,
Monday
you
night,
killed
Indy,
me.
Indy at Miami.
You murdered me.
Are you allergic to any condiments? Because I'm going to put on this sub. I'm going to beat you silly.
You put the don't put watermelon
subs
in it. I think Miami might stink.
Yeah.
I watched that game and it's like, you really look at what happened last year with they went, I think, 10-6 or 11-5, whatever it was, and they just the best possible schedule, and Pennington kind of overachieved.
Right.
They could not get any, like, third down plays when they needed to throw on, like, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. It just wasn't – they just couldn't get it going. They don't have anybody to go to. I don't know what happened to Ted Ginn.
There's not much with that team, and the only thing I'm thinking, what is Parcells? Who's he going to blame for this? This is usually his year, the second year where he turns it around. But, you're right. I think the schedule was cake last year, and now it's what would be the opposite of cake, like liver? It's really tough. they're really in trouble. So
the Falcons were much better. They controlled that game from beginning to end. I'm going to say Indy by 3.
Yeah, we both said 3. It's 3.5, actually. And
all right.
I think that's I think they win that anyway.
Well, we have just a couple minutes left here, and we need
14-7. I beat you. Wow.
Listen, I just wanted to rebuild your confidence a little before I trounce and commence.
Now, last week I don't need a rebuild. Last week I picked my underdog special. Right? I was with you. How many fake units are we working with? I had the Niners.
We didn't know. I dumped the Redskins and I joined you on the Niners because
right,
I
okay.
like the pick so much.
Okay, we both had it then. So
we won 100 to win 260.
Yeah.
So now we need another underdog.
What were we starting with?
We're just going to do 100 a week.
All right, but we're starting with 1,000 units. So we're up.
Oh, 1,000 units. Yeah, let's do 1,000 because it's fake money. It sounds more impressive.
Yeah, that's good.
So we're up 2,600 bucks right now.
Let's do 1,000.73. No, 1,000 units, so we're up how much?
$2,600 right now. Joe Mead, you got to keep track of this. Joe Mead, are you awake?
Yeah, I'm awake.
All right. Wow.
I'll write that down.
All right, we have 2,600. Now, what do you... I'll tell you what. I'm going... this is going to be an unpopular choice, but I'm going with Carolina. They can't be this bad. They just cannot be this bad. And they're going to... I think Atlanta is slightly overrated.
I can't let you do that.
I think they're taken by surprise. D'Angelo Williams breaks a couple long ones.
I can't let you do that. I can't let you do it.
What's that? What do you mean?
We have to agree on these underdog picks, and there's no way I'm asking our devoted listeners to back Jake DeLome with money.
Oh, I didn't know we had to agree. We have to agree?
I think we should agree. I think it would be nice if we agreed.
Well, I can still like the Cowboys and you like the Patriots, right?
No, but it's the underdog has to be getting at least 4 points, I think. So who's in that?
All right.
Who's in like
yeah,
the 4 to 7 point range?
All right, so let's go over. We're not going to take St. Louis over Washington.
No.
We're not going to take Detroit over Minnesota. I
no.
like Carolina. You'll get your head chopped off if you take the Jets over New England.
No, don't think I won't do it.
Let's see. I hate Houston over Tennessee. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's awful.
Cincinnati's not beating Green Bay.
That's not a bad one. What's the line on that Cincy-Green Bay game, though?
It's currently 9.
I mean, that's like a plus 400?
I'm not doing that with
you. All right.
Crazy.
Oh, but you'll bet on Jake DeLome?
He's not done. He's not done.
He's not?
He's going to jail if he's done. I'm telling you, he's got to figure like he's going to lose his freedom if he craps the bet again.
All right.
All right.
Who else?
So you're considering Cincinnati with New Orleans too low, San Francisco too low, Tampa Buffalo is.
I can't
in there. I don't like that Tampa team at all, though. You're not going to take Cleveland against Denver. Baltimore, San Diego's too low. Pittsburgh, Chicago's too low. Dallas, the rest are too low. We don't have. We have
what's
to take Carolina.
What's the Jets line?
Oh, you're nuts.
What is it?
6.5.
The Jets are getting 6.5 points at home against the New England Patriots?
It's now down to like 5.5 or 6, yeah.
So what is the exact money line?
Let me see here.
You got to look this
money
up.
Line is plus 215.
How is that not our pick?
Why don't you go with that, and I'll take Carolina. We could give them both, and then it's something else to fight over.
Listen, my responsibility to the listeners outweighs my fandom for
the
Patriots.
Well, I think they're listening. They know which way you want to go here.
No, I'm just saying that's a dumb line. The Jets have, you know, the Jets really could win this game. The Pats, I think, were overrated after last night. That line should be 3 or less, and for some reason it's 5.5. Jets are home. Their crowd's going to be going nuts. Their fans are so excited about this team. They love Sanchez. It's a tough spot.
I don't know. I just think the Patriots proved what they're about last. I can't believe I have to sell you on the Patriots. This is so dumb.
You're right. I can't do it.
They play with teams, and then they win. They got a little lucky last night, but they'll know how to handle it.
Yeah, I can't do it. I'll tell you, though, if it's probably the best bet. So what's the Carolina bet?
I like Carolina. Let's see what the money would be. They're going to win this game. They're plus 230. I think you should pick one, and I should pick one. You don't want to take the Jets. So. Not many choices here.
I'll join you on Carolina.
All right.
I think we should agree. I think it's important for camaraderie and our marriage.
All right.
So what do we have? What are we giving with Carolina?
We are, it's plus 230.
Can we go a little less? Can we go 500 units instead of 1,000?
Sure, yeah. We don't have to double up every time. Yeah.
All right. Let's go 500.
500 units. And Joe, you better keep track of this. This is exciting stuff.
I got it all written down.
The more I'm thinking about it, your Panthers pick is so ridiculous that I kind of like it. Who would take Carolina in that game?
Good. I know. That's exactly it. That's exactly it.
And watching that game, they were manhandling Philly in the first quarter. Like the game started out with like an 8-minute drive. They were pounding the ball, and DeLome just single-handedly fell apart. Now he might do that again, but I don't know if Atlanta has the type of defense to kind of force him into all the chaotic things that seem to derail him. You've just made me flip-flop. I feel like Ron Jaworski. I flip-flopped in 5 minutes.
We're good. We're good.
I like it. It's a solid pick.
That division's going to be a mess.
It's a solid pick. All right, Cousin Sal.
All right, Bill. Thank you. I'll be calling you from Dallas.
Thank you for being on us.
That's a long flight for me and a long flight home and a lot of misery from the coworkers all week if they lose.
I wish you luck, and thank you for appearing on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline.
All right, buddy.
All right, talk to you soon. All right, we have a little time left on the pod. I'm going to call my buddy J-Buck, who went to the Pats game last night, season ticket holder since 1993, lives back in Boston. Going to get his take on last night's dramatic Pats comeback, as well as whether we should be a little concerned heading into the Meadowlands for week two against the Jets. So let's give him a call.
Hello.
The Bug.
What's up, Billy?
How are you?
I'm good.
How was
it? Not bad. It was, hold on 1 second. Let me just get a little Baba Black Sheep going. There we go. It was good for the last 4 minutes. Otherwise, it was more complaining and ho-hum and sitting on your seat. Just, you know what? We haven't had a game like that in a long time. Long time.
What do you mean, a comeback game or a game that was, like, just dead?
Just a game like that. Just a comeback game at home, but more important, just a game like that.
Yeah.
You know, where, it was a little bit like being a virgin again, where your team goes 6-10, but it wins, you know, the last 5 games of the season, and you're winning games like that.
Yeah.
Only we're the 3-time defending champs, and that's not supposed to happen. Remember the mini game, the Minnesota 10-6, the 26-20 game?
Yeah.
It was kind of like that.
You made me nervous with the virginality because we're doing a live podcast right now. I didn't tell you coming out of the gate.
Yeah, you like to do that.
Yeah, I do like
to do that. You like to do that. It's good though. I get a little nervous and I start to settle down. So I'm glad you just didn't tell me. That was nice of you.
So you sent me a picture from the stadium.
Yes.
At it was like 10 minutes after the. In real time after the game had started, and it was a shot of you outside the stadium with about 5,000 fans streaming
to
get in.
I sent it to you when I got in. So that was me walking in, and yeah. I got right when I got to my seat. The national anthem was finishing, and the Jets were flying over. It was literally right there.
Oh, okay. So you did get
yeah.
it.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you're going to have to put the edit button on for a second because I got to go hit play on Hulu.
No, I think we should keep it on.
Hulu's not. You want to keep the sun on the background? Let's do If You're Happy and You Know It.
Yeah, let's
there
do
you
it.
Go, buddy. Yeah.
I like you doing yeah. Mr. Mom today. I like it.
A little bit, yeah.
So
yeah.
here's why I'm calling.
What's
so
up?
Cousin Sal and I do the Weekly Lines podcast every week, and this year we decided to pick an underdog lock of the week.
Okay.
Last week we picked the San Francisco 49ers. They won.
Yes.
This week we were looking at the candidates, had to be getting 4 points or more, have to pick them to win outright. And on paper, the logical pick is the Jets of New York.
They're more than 4 point underdogs?
They're getting 5.5 points.
Wow. Did anyone watch that game, the Houston game?
That
defense is scary.
That's what I was telling Sal.
Our line sucks. Sucks.
It's not good. It was
not good at all.
What was it like in person watching? Where you're in person, you could just see that stuff better. Watching their line against our line,
awful, awful, awful. You know what it was? So when you go to Buffalo's offensive line and our offensive line, you had every single play. We were starting 3 yards behind our offensive line when the ball. Yeah. You know, it was just it was there. Everything was developing 3 yards behind. Theirs, it was a yard into ours. So you had a guy like Maroney who was doing pretty well early. It looked like he was going to have a little bit of a game going. And then all of a sudden, I don't know, they pulled the two tight ends out. They went away from the two tight end set. And there were like 5 guys in the backfield every time he ran the ball.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit bad for Maroney because I thought he might have a game today. He was hitting the hole hard. And then all of a sudden, our offensive line just sucked.
Yeah, it was bad.
No quietes, buddy. Hold on a second. Hold on 1 second. Okay.
This is
he doesn't like five little monkeys. Dude, I got these Wiggle guys. Yeah. He likes Five Little Monkeys, but not right now, I guess. The Wiggles are kind of spooky. They're a little bit weird, no?
The Wiggles frighten me.
I'm just getting into this, I guess. I he's just starting to watch this stuff.
Listen, once the Wiggles start, there's no stopping. It's like the 85 Bears pass rush. You can't
started
hold
yesterday.
Them off.
Weird. Really weird dudes. Little weird creepy dudes.
With
that one, that like kind of Asian looking dude that like just always points his fingers at the other guys. It's freaky. All right, so that's too much. That's way too much. So our line sucks, dude. I think the Jets defense looks nasty.
I agree. I watched that Jets Texans game, and just the whole game, I just felt like that Jets D was on the same page. They were hungry. They seemed like they knew they were good.
You have to think the Jets coaching staff, especially as spooky weird as Ryan is, was pleasuring himself watching Buffalo just run through our offensive line.
Well, and the other part, I hate to bring it up. It's almost like every Pats fan's made a consensus decision not to even acknowledge it. But Brady, so tentative when he had to move out of the pocket. Remember that one play inside the 10 and he kind of scrambled out, and the old Brady would have just put his head down and taken the one guy who was in front of him, tried to pull him in the end zone. And this time he kind of stopped and he danced and he threw it over somebody's head.
He looked pretty straight up too, even when he dropped back. I mean, he in the pocket. He looked pretty rigid. Even on the 9-yard run, I mean, he fell short like 2 yards where he could have picked up the first down. I don't know if you remember the scramble where he ran the 9 yards and came up.
Oh, I remember. I can't blame him either because
no, me neither.
He had his entire knee reconstructed basically, and he's probably wouldn't be a big fan of having it hit. But,
so I know we got to get into the dogs, but speaking of hits on quarterbacks, so you've had that second penalty. I don't know about the Will Fork.
It was also terrible.
But the second one, so you think of a guy, and it was actually, you think of a guy like Ben Roethlisberger, right? You don't do that to him. And he's basically shrugging you off, and he's hitting Hines Ward, who did everything but give you a vasectomy to get open, and he's scoring a touchdown.
Right.
You don't wrap up Roethlisberger and whip him down. He's just shaking you off, and he's freaking throwing for a touchdown, and then they're throwing a flag on it. So you're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Agreed.
I don't know. I mean, that was frustrating.
Sal and I just talked about it because a good example is Eli Manning in Super Bowl 42, the famous helmet catch.
That's exactly what Nico said. He's like, look at Manning. Look what happened with Manning.
Well, we've seen it, though. We've seen it a bunch of times where the guys either kind of holds up or doesn't go all the way through because they're afraid of a penalty, and the quarterback rips loose. And it seems like it's swung too far the other way.
Yeah.
It's swung too far toward the quarterbacks. The Thomas play, I said this to Sal earlier, I don't ever remember a quarterback getting hurt on the 360 quarterback whip down on the ground. They know how to fall. They land on their shoulder pad. It's one thing if you pick the guy up and you pile drive him, but he didn't do that.
It was annoying, man. That was just frustrating. That was so frustrating.
What about tell me about the Pats passing game, guys wide open?
It was really strange. It seemed like Randy Moss was open every single time.
And I was saying that during my chat. He was the whole first half. It felt like they could have played catch with him.
He was just open all the time. But Brady again. He had a little bit of pressure in his face. And he did seem a little bit rigid, so some of the balls were going low into the dirt. And the one with Welker, too, I think he always throws it low to Welker anyway, because Welker's kind of a smaller guy and a little bit shiftier.
Yeah.
And his were going in the dirt. Now, you were watching on TV, so you can't really tell in the stands. There was one where he threw out of bounds and just way over the head. Did he mean to do that? Was he throwing it away, or was that?
Yeah, I felt like he was.
Okay, all right. Because it looked like, what the hell? Was he throwing that away? Because it didn't look like he was getting much pressure.
Here's the one thing I will say in favor of let yesterday just being a lot of rust and maybe it all worked out and we shouldn't be too nervous after 1 week. When we got the ball back after the special team, after their returner fumbled, the two-minute warning, I knew we were going to win. So did you. It was like, Brady, you can't do this to Brady. He's going to kill you. So I feel like at least with that, with the confidence of he's going to come through here, that's back.
Do you think that this whole game plan goes back to 2007 where we just totally ran it up on teams and then we killed our defense, where our defense spent too much time on the field, so they were just trying to force the run, and then eventually it was like, all right, screw it, we're not going to run anymore, let's just start throwing the ball with 5 minutes left. What were they doing? It seemed like they were just They were trying to run the ball. They were forcing the run, and it just wasn't working.
I think they were worried about Brady first half, and I think they were trying to just make sure he wasn't put in the position to do too much. But the problem was when Mayo went out.
That's a good point.
All of a sudden, they started running on us, and at that point, it becomes a whole. You gotta keep matching whatever points and yards they're putting up, and that changed the game plan. But if Mayo didn't come out of that game, I really don't feel like the Bills would have done anything.
It's a very good point, and I don't know what's his step. Is he out 4 to 6 weeks, or what's his deal?
That's another. When you look at the Jets game next week, that's another thing. Like, this is our only middle linebacker.
Yeah, no, pardon me, I'm going to do a little elephant song break here. Give me 1 minute. There you go, buddy. How's that? A little elephant song? You like that one?
This is great.
Right.
By the way, the lesson is always be careful before you make the decision to have kids out there. Just make sure you're totally committed to it.
I'm fine with it, but I'm definitely stopping it too.
I'm fine too. I'm just saying, I think everybody who wants to have kids should be required to just see surveillance footage of parents with two kids, just what their life is like for 7 hours.
Awful. I'm here with Daria. I mean, Daria, no way. I'll take work. I'm dying to go back to work. I took yesterday and today off. I cannot wait to wake up and just scoot out of this house secretly and not know what goes on during the day.
All right, last question. So what were people more excited about yesterday, the Pats coming back or the Pats covering the 3-team tees that everybody had this week?
When you say people, do you mean people like me?
Everyone's
excited about the Pats coming back. I mean, how about the death pools? I mean, Baltimore and Pats both gave you a scare.
It was a combination of excited about the win, excited about not losing suicide pick week one, excited about the 10-point tees. I haven't heard that kind of excitement at Gillette Stadium in a while.
Yeah, if we didn't come back, so we didn't score that, if we didn't get the turnover, because that's when it got the loudest, right? It was freaking loud in there. If we didn't get the turnover, and I'd say the loudest it's been in probably 5 years in that stadium was when Troy Brown walked out for the 50th anniversary team.
Really? He was the loudest out of the 50?
Yeah, he was loud. It was real. Ben Coates got a good one. Troy Brown, Ty Law got a good one. Stanley Morgan got a good one.
How about Sam Bam Cunningham? I mean, didn't everybody get a good one?
Brewski got a great one. Brewski got a great one too, but Troy Brown, the older guys got good ones, but not like the guys that have won the Super Bowls. Troy Brown got a lot of applause. It was good.
If you didn't see the game we're talking about at halftime, they introduced the 50 greatest Patriots of all time, which was interesting because I didn't know we had 50 greatest Patriots.
It wasn't the 50th greatest Patriots. It's the 50th anniversary team. So it was the offense and defense. So it's 22.
Oh, I thought it was 50.
Yeah, no, they didn't do 50.
Oh, yeah, my God. I couldn't believe we got to 50. All right, because they barely showed it on TV, so I didn't know who the...
Yeah, then you'd be coming up with Ronnie LaPrette. You'd be in big trouble if you had to come up with 50.
My friend Jen from college, her dad was the center, John Morris.
I thought of that. Yeah, I saw him when I...
You always kind of liked her.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Back in the day when you were single.
Back in the day, you as Billy would say, he's like, oh, bug, that's a bug girl. You can edit that one, too, if you want.
No, we'll keep it in. I liked it. So Troy Brown loudest.
Troy Brown loudest. I think Troy Brown got – Brucey obviously got an awesome one, too, but Troy Brown was loud.
So is Troy Brown, Stanley Morgan, and Irving Fryer were the receivers, or is Troy Brown the kick returner?
He was like offense, defense – he was everything, but I think he was as a receiver. But when they did the announcement, it was like receiver, defensive back, special teams, punt returner, kick returner. He was like Jefferson, 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 Jefferson.
You know what you missed being at the game? After the game, the ESPN crew. Well, I guess they showed it on SportsCenter, so you might have seen it. But they had Brewski, Matt Millen, and Trent Dilfer with Stu Scott.
Brewski make everyone look silly.
Well, no, they taped it right after the game. So Brewski is just, I mean, they almost had to hose him down. That is New England Patriots football. They prepare for every situation. He's like just so excited to, it was like watching a Scientologist talk about level five or whatever the levels are. Beaten five.
Yeah. He's good, though. Brewski's good. I think he's going to be all right if he doesn't, you know, turn into a buggy homer.
Well, you know what's funny is Matt Millen is really good.
Yeah, he parlayed that great GM capabilities into a great gig on TV.
Well, but maybe that's how he got the GM job, because he was such a good announcer, people got confused. But I think he's really good. He's charismatic. He says interesting things. He's controversial.
Can you hear my son saying, no quiere, no quiere?
Yeah. We'll let you go. So you agree that the Jets-Pats line is ridiculous?
Yeah, I think, but here's the thing. I can't see the Pats losing. Because, again, it goes against who I am to pick the Pats to lose.
I wouldn't either. Sal gave me crap because I was like, you know, I don't want to pick against the Pats, but that's the best underdog pick because that.
How many others are there?
Well, we settled on Carolina in Atlanta. Nobody's going to take the loan this week, and the line's a little high, and it just was. It was the best of a week slate of underdog picks.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. No. Nope.
Unless you like Cincy going to Green Bay.
Yeah. Green Bay didn't impress me all that much.
Me neither.
How about the last minute over covers? I know you gotta go. How about the last one? Like the Pats, San Diego, Green Bay,
Washington.
Oh, Washington. And the push. That was a beautiful thing.
I know. It's a beautiful thing. It's too bad we don't gamble, because it would have been so much fun to gamble
it's
on
so
some
true.
Of those games.
Well, you know, I mean, you're absolutely right. You're correct. Final note, and then I'll go. If you're going to wait a 55, you got to make a play in the last 2 minutes. He made a play in the last 2 minutes.
Tell us who you're talking about.
I'm talking about some guy who's, you know, decided to wear they did everything but throw number 93 on someone, too.
I know. Well, that did bum me out last night. You didn't see the Raiders game because you were driving home.
Yeah.
Seymour was a man possessed.
I know. He had 2 sacks in the first half.
Unfortunately, to light a fire under him, the Pats had to trade him to another team. But after really not being an impact guy since 06, I would say, he had the best game I've seen him have in 3 years. He was all over the place.
But you knew that was going to happen.
I figured it would happen, but it still hurt a little bit, because after watching us get not a ton of push until the fourth quarter against the Bills O-line, it kind of hurt to see Richard Seymour go crazy.
Of course. And then in week 7, when he's out with a bruised, you know, vulva, you know, everyone will know what he's all about. He's great, and he's great. I love them too.
All right, the J-Bug, right. Everybody.
By the way, the only 55 I say is Willie. There is no other 55.
You're still wearing the jersey.
Even the other Hawaiian dude, he was 55. He didn't have a name.
Yeah.
I don't wear the jersey. I got it though.
I think you should make it. You should have broken it out yesterday for the anniversary team.
You know, the double XL just doesn't fit the same way it did in 1996, I think, when I got it.
Willie was on the team, right?
What do you mean?
Willie was on the anniversary team.
No, he wasn't.
What?
No, he wasn't.
How's that possible?
It was Tippett, Nelson.
Oh, no, and Brewski?
Brewski.
I don't agree with Steve Nelson over Willie.
No.
Steve Nelson, I mean, that's a classic case of somebody's career becoming overrated because they end up doing TV and radio in the same market. But that guy was not. I mean, that guy was a solid middle linebacker, but he wasn't as good as Willie.
Well, maybe Willie. he didn't play enough here, but what about Curtis Martin?
He didn't play enough.
He didn't play enough.
Who was the running back?
He'll be on the Jets' 50th anniversary team.
Who was the running back for the Pats team?
Jim Nantz. Bam Cunningham.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yep.
All right, Bug. Enjoy family life. We'll talk to you.
Talk to you later. Mas. Okay,
bye-bye.
Buddy. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Target the saddle.
Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at PodCenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.